Good Shepherd, on this wonderful morning as we gather here on this fifth Sunday to receive Christ's gifts in word and in his holy and precious body and blood in the Lord's Supper this day. The theme of our Sunday, the theme especially, well really of all three lessons, is appearances are deceiving. Appearances are deceiving. On Holy Saturday, what did the appearances say? It said defeat. Jesus had been conquered, and he was no more. But appearances were deceiving, and of course Easter morning dawned, and victory rose from the grave. That is how our God works, not always in the ways that our human eyes see and recognize, but he always brings forth victory. Life out of death, our God delights in raising the dead. Our service this day, Divine Service setting number 4, that's found on page 203. Our opening hymn this day will be number 504. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank and praise you for gathering us here this day to hear your word and receive your gifts. We pray, O Lord, that you would strengthen our faith so that we would live by faith and would be credited to us as righteousness, your righteousness won for us by your death, your resurrection for our sake. We beg you, O Lord, that you would enable us to receive your gifts in faith and to trust in you until the day when you return, when every eye will see you. In your holy and precious name we pray, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Hymn 504.
service, setting number 4, page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and in praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, in His mercy,
has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
I will sing your
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is written in Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. To
continue with our gradual, we speak it together.
I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him.
The epistle is written in 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To continue with our Alleluia and verse, we stand for the Holy Gospel. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to him from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess the faith of the Church in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, he suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again.
You may be seated.
premise, the idea that appearances don't tell the whole story, that we are not to condemn others on sight, but are to get to know their character. Now, unfortunately, our world takes it a few steps further and ends up ditching all outward morality and even the body itself. But the core idea, appearances are deceiving, is still a good one. And it is hardly new. The 19th century writer Jane Austen set up each of her still popular novels with the idea that something, or usually someone or multiple someones, was not as they appeared. Mistaken identity was the driving force behind the mishaps and misunderstandings that filled her pages. And when those were finally resolved, the heroine lived happily ever after. Austen's message was simple, and it was quite consciously directed against the scientific optimism of her day. Don't trust your eyes. Appearances are deceiving. But we don't listen, do we? To either 21st century liberals or a 19th century author, we don't listen. We still trust our eyes, no matter how many people or who it is tells us differently. Now, in our human relationships, this can lead to comedy and drama on the one hand, or it has a more sinister edge, racism and violence. But theologically, the stakes are even higher. Judging, trusting in your eyes, what your eyes see, can lead you straight to hell. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. What do your eyes see? The same thing the rich man's eyes saw. They see luxury. They see abundance. They see success. They see a banquet table piled high, filled with riches for him and his friends to enjoy. He is held in high esteem by all. He is exalted by the masses, envied by his friends, honored by his family. He lives the kind of life that you want to lead, right? The kind of life that you aspire to. The kind of life that you could only have if you did all that commercials promise you. But there's even more to this. A theological element. You see, this guy is a child of Abraham. He's a member of the church. This takes our observations to a whole new level. This man isn't just successful because he pursued the right stock options. He is uniquely blessed by God himself. Just look at him. He literally oozes evidence of God's favor. He must have a powerful faith, right? He must say the right prayers, right? He must lead an upright life as God has called on him to do, right? How do we know? We can see it with our very own eyes. He is showing every evidence of God's favor in the abundance that fills his life. The same abundance that preachers promise him, that best-selling books have told him how to attain. And we can contrast the blessings we see inside the rich man's house with the curse that we see outside the door. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. What do your eyes see? The same thing the rich man's eyes saw each and every day. They see poverty. They see deprivation. They see failure. They see ribs sticking out, an emaciated frame, a life that isn't really worth living. He is looked down upon by all. He is ignored by the masses, rejected by his friends, abandoned by his family. He lives the kind of life that we're glad we avoided because we worked hard. While he obviously didn't. And now he subsists only on the generosity of others and the welfare of the state. Get a job, we mutter as we pass him by. Quit trying to make me feel sorry for you. But there's even more to this, a theological element. You see, this man as well is a child of Abraham, a member of the church. This takes our observations to a whole new level. This man isn't just impoverished because he has no work ethic. He is cursed by God himself. Just look at him. He quite literally oozes evidence of God's disfavor, God's curse. He must have quite a weak faith, right? He must not say the correct prayers, right? He must not lead the kind of life God has called on us all to lead, right? He must have done something awfully bad to deserve this, right? How do we know this? Because we can see it. Our eyes tell us. He is showing every evidence of God's curse in the poverty and suffering that fills his life. The same poverty and suffering that the preachers, that the best-selling books have warned him about. These men have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. One shows every evidence of faithfulness to God in the material blessings that fill his life. The other shows every evidence of wickedness in the suffering that has consumed him. Our eyes tell us that one has God's blessing, and the other, God's curse. But then they die. The one thing they have in common is death. And at death, what our eyes have seen, what we have observed, is proved to be completely and utterly false. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Death makes all things clear. It removes all the external trappings of this life, all the material things that we use to make our judgments. All those things are gone. And when they are gone, the truth is plain. This man who suffered so completely in this life was not abandoned by God. He was not cursed by him. He was not rejected by his Creator. No, instead, he was blessed. So blessed, in fact, that after a lifetime of suffering, he is given an eternity of comfort. Appearances are deceiving. Now this poor man, Lazarus, is not saved by his poverty. He was saved because he heard the word and believed it. He is saved because he has a Savior, Jesus Christ, who hung upon a cross to deliver him from the poverty that consumed him, the sores that covered him, the death that would one day take him. He is saved because he did not put his trust, his confidence in what his eyes saw. He did not look to his life as God's evidence, as evidence of God's favor or his curse. No, Instead, he looked to Jesus. No matter how poor and miserable his life became, Lazarus looked to Jesus to know what God thought of him. He rests in the bosom of Abraham because Jesus made himself poor and miserable, even submitting to death for the sake of Lazarus, for the sake of the world. And now, Lazarus feasts eternally, for he is covered in the victory of Jesus. The sores are no more, neither is the suffering. No more will he be deprived. No more will he hunger. Like Father Abraham, Lazarus believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The rich man is an entirely different story. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. Death makes all things clear. Certainly the rich man had a lavish funeral, while the body of Lazarus was probably tossed in a ditch. But there was no mistaking that the same death had claimed them both. And on the day of his death, the rich man discovered to his eternal sorrow that appearances are deceiving. He thought that his wealth was evidence of God's great favor, but his wealth, just like Lazarus's poverty, had absolutely nothing to do with God's eternal pleasure or displeasure. Instead, his wealth was a gift from the God who gives all good gifts, who reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous, the God who gives every good gift. And this gift was given to the rich man as an opportunity to show love to others. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. The rich man's refusal to show love to Lazarus flowed from a heart that had no love toward God, a heart that remained hard as stone. We love because he first loved us. The rich man refused to relieve the sufferings of Lazarus, even though he passed him every single day. And now for eternity, the rich man suffers. The rich man was not condemned for being rich. He was not even condemned for his lack of love toward Lazarus. Jesus died for that sin too. The rich man in our text is condemned for refusing the love of God in Christ, for refusing to repent and receive forgiveness for his greed, for trusting himself, for trusting in his wealth rather than in Jesus. And having rejected God's love, having refused to receive or give such love, he can only receive wrath. His trust, his dependence was in what his eyes saw. He thought that his material blessings were evidence of God's favor. But he had abandoned and rejected the word. The word of law, which called on him to love his neighbor, and the word of gospel, which proclaims the Savior who loved him and died to save him from that awful place. Even in hell, the rich man continues to distrust the Word. Having failed to obtain relief for his sufferings, the rich man now thinks of those who have been left behind. His brothers, who like him, trust in what their eyes see. "Then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham's answer is to point to the very thing the rich man had already rejected. The Word. "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." The rich man's response is quite telling. "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." The Word is not sufficient. The Word is not enough. Only miracles will suffice. He who trusted his eyes throughout his life continues to trust them even in hell. But Abraham points us all to our ears. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Appearances are deceiving. In your hands you can hold a Bible, a book printed and bound like any other book, published and distributed at bookstores throughout the world. You come to this place and you hear a man, an ordinary man, a sinful man, stand up here and talk, reading from that same Bible or applying that word and explaining it to you. You go home and maybe your bank account increases, maybe not. Perhaps you suffer greatly. But you do not trust what your eyes see, whether good or bad, success or suffering. You trust what the Word says, even if it seems to contradict all your eyes tell you. Do not trust your eyes. Do not let them tell you what God thinks of you. Trust your ears. For into your ears comes the Word. And the Word proclaims to you the one who did rise from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. It is at the cross that you are told what God thinks of you. He loves you. He took on human flesh to bear your sin to the cross and to pay the price for them. And He pours out those gifts in abundance through the Word. You have a place in the bosom of Father Abraham, along with all those who looked to Jesus in the midst of their struggles and sufferings. Not saying that Lazarus had this mighty and powerful faith. In fact, that's not even the point. Lazarus, in the midst of his suffering, clung to Jesus. And so you too, who cling to Jesus by faith, not by sight, have a place in the bosom of Father Abraham. And on that day, when the angels carry you to His side, you will have a seat at the banquet forever, knowing that nothing will ever snatch you from that table. And on that day, your eyes will see what your ears here in this place have heard forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. We stand for the prayers of the church. In the peace and forgiveness of Christ, let us offer our prayers to the Father in the Holy Spirit. Holy Father, You have had mercy on the children of man, sparing us from everlasting death in the blood and righteousness of Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hear us now as we confidently lay before Your throne of grace our petitions for help and aid. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, for the benefit of Your people, You call faithful men to serve in the office of preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments. Bless the pastors of our synod, especially those who are set in authority. Pastor Harrison, our synodical president. Pastor Snow, our district president. Raise up men to work in Your vineyard according to Your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy, Eternal Lord, ruler of all, graciously regard those who have been set into positions of authority among us, especially the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, and all legislators and magistrates. Grant that, guided by your Spirit, they may be high in purpose, wise in counsel, firm in good resolution, and unwavering in duty, that under them we may be quietly and peaceably governed. This weekend, we especially ask that we would be ever mindful of those who have sacrificed their lives to protect and preserve the freedoms enjoyed in our land. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, we thank you that you have taught us what you would have us believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, to hold fast to your word in our hearts, which you have cleansed, that thereby we may be made strong in faith and perfect in holiness and be comforted in life and death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, hear the prayers on behalf of all your servants who are sick, homebound, or lonely. Bless them with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Relieve their pain. Guard them from all danger. Restore them and restore to them the joy of your salvation, upholding them with your tender hand. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, today your Son, Jesus Christ, refreshes us with the gift of his true body and true blood in this Holy Supper. Bless our participation in these holy gifts with peace and joy, in the knowledge that we are reconciled to you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. Once again, welcome in the name of our crucified, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. At this time, we'd ask you to participate in the rite of fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. If you would please sign in and pass along. If you're a guest or a visitor, we're glad to have you with us. We ask that you provide us your contact information so we can acknowledge your presence with us this day. At this time also, we receive our gifts and offerings. Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and have given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemn the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Now this true body and precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith till life everlasting. Go with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nunc Dimittis, page 211. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace.
Amen.
We remain standing for our closing hymn, number 632. 632. Couple of announcements for this day as we look toward the week ahead. Vacation Bible School will be starting next Monday, so really coming up very quickly here. There are sign-up sheets and all sorts of things on the back table, so please take a look if you can help in any way. I had a message, and if I carried my phone into church, I would have it, but I don't do that, for obvious reasons. We need a lot of toilet paper rolls. And I think, well, there's a package there, so I assume it's with the toilet paper on them. And so 170, I think, is what the text message says. I'll look at that between services and have it right for the second service. So looking for toilet paper rolls. And you see there's some back there, and if you could bring some more in, that would be great. Last Sunday, Yes. Our Higher Things devotionals were not ready last week. They are ready this week, and so they're on the back. So please pick one up if you are in the habit of doing so. And even if you're not in the habit of doing so, pick one up. Pick two up then. Mark and Bethany Kranz will be moving to Fort Wayne this next week. And so the 10:30 service will be the last time they'll be among us for probably until Christmas. And so we pray the Lord's blessings upon them. It is an exciting thing to send another son of our congregation to the seminary. And so we pray the Lord's blessings upon them, the transition, new baby in the middle of summer Greek, which should be exciting. And so we pray for them and keep them constantly in your prayers. We did have in the news and notes last week that they were going to have be loading up the truck at 1:30. But they had some issues with the company and they couldn't get it that early. So now the moving party is at 5:30 p.m. And we had the address in last week. I'm not seeing it in here this week. If you need the address and you don't have a directory, it'll be in your church directory if you have that at home. If you need the address, talk to me or talk to Vicar. You have a directory in your office, right? Yeah, we can get you the address. So 5:30 p.m. today, they'll be loading up the truck. So many hands make light work. I don't know if there are any other announcements. Oh, yes, Bible study. We only have one today, Ecclesiastes in the fellowship hall. And we'll see if I can inject some joy into Ecclesiastes today. So that is in between services. We will have Sunday school opening in about 10 minutes. Any other announcements, Vicar? Oh, yes. During this week, Vicar and I will be gone. We'll be at confirmation camp Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Pastor Poppy will still be here. And Wednesday, you should have reminded me about this. Former Vicar, Pastor-elect Christian Preuss will be preaching here Wednesday night at our Wednesday night regular service. And there will be a Preuss Fest afterwards, meet and greet with the family. So definitely plan to come and see the Preusses. So you get rid of us and you get Vicar Preuss back. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. So take advantage of it. Lord be with you this week.